We can now just reconvene. David, if I can ask you to put a proposal on the table.
Okay, thanks, Bob. I guess providing a bit of overview of what we heard before the break, I think there's some sense that with the delay in the FICE project at the moment, that maybe it gives I think the staff an opportunity here to work maybe with the FICE team and the committee on developing something here that maybe is a little bit more than just a straight interpretation of what's in the current IFRS literature. Maybe explore a little bit an interpretation that may involve as well maybe an amendment to one of the standards. And I think we heard a couple of views on this. It might be something that maybe the committee can't take all the way through, but I think I certainly heard Ruth saying at least we could get it to something even if it does not quite meet all our interpretation criteria, where there's a package that we could feed into the board. We were talking a little bit timing-wise as well. The board have put this down for the time being, but if we think through another two more meetings of the interpretations committee looking at this, if we think about timing, then that might feed in well with when opportunities begin coming up for the board, let's say sometime next summer, to begin looking at this issue further. So in thinking through, I think we heard sort of two potential approaches discussed. Bob articulated one, and I think we call it maybe a presentation type approach. So that would be maybe the focus on IAS 27. I think maybe that's one that staff could explore. The other, and I think Andrew and Scott may have mentioned this among others, would be maybe that there's some derivative accounting approach here. And we were thinking through maybe that's a little bit more changing the measurement than necessarily the presentation approach. I think both will have different things the staff would need to think through, but maybe one question we could just get some sense on, those would be two ways of looking at this. Is there any particularly strong initial preference the committee would have on either of those two approaches, acknowledging we've not got into a lot of detail on them, or in other words, do any of them look like things we shouldn't spend time exploring, or would you be happy for the staff to think through both of those or any particular preference on one above the other? So I'll call it a measurement approach, which should be a derivative, thinking around whether we could get to derivative accounting on these, and a presentation approach, which would be more treating these changes through equity in accordance with 27.
Andrew?
My initial reaction to that is you ideally should consider both, but it obviously makes sense to get an early heads up from the board. As you know, if derivative accounting is just off the table at the moment, then there's not a lot of point going there. But so whether it's the project team or the board, I'd get an early steer from what the art of the possible is before you start there. But I mean, I would be happy to explore both. When you're talking about the sort of IAS 27 approach, are you talking about all the issues we discussed or just the subsequent measurement?
Because I think our focus would be on subsequent measurement. I think there would be a scope question there to think through, but the focus, and that seems to have been, even backing up, that was where the initial question came in. I think that's where the most significant diversity in practice and key issues are. We know there may be questions on the others, but the focus would be on that subsequent measurement.
Scott?
Yeah, my sense is that there's a number of issues to think about and look at, and I wouldn't take any of them off the table. I mean, one would be, is there a way to get to derivative accounting that makes sense? If so, is the derivative part of the NCI, or is the derivative a liability? If we can't go to derivative accounting because either the board thinks that's front-running things too much, or it presents issues that we can't seem to work out, then there's a number of presentation approaches that one could look at. One is a liability first and see if there's excess NCI. One is an NCI first and then also consider whether there's an excess liability. In the fair value put, there'd almost never be anything that felt like an excess liability, but in the fixed price put, there might be. So I would leave them all on the table and try to think through, the three or four key questions to answer, and then, the way we answer each of those questions put us in different boxes that lead to different models. I think there's a number of different ways we could consider slicing it.
Okay, Laurence?
I think it is worth exploring both approaches. I also noted that I think it is in the E&Y letter that there is a list of questions to be considered, some of which are useful because I think that in the previous debate there was this question about whether you keep attributing, for example, profits to NCI or not, and we need to be clear on this issue as well.
My initial reaction is I think we do need to be a little careful on the scope here. Obviously, we spent one or two meetings on this, and I would almost go back to my response to Andrew. I think we need to certainly focus in on the specific question we were asked. We know there are a lot of related issues, and I think we need to be careful to make sure we don't get too bogged down in those issues again. But I'm sure there's 18 in E&Ys, and I'm sure there's other lists of potential questions out here, so I think we do need to focus.
Ruth?
I agree. I think we need to look at the options that are available rather than immediately focusing on one. But if we do think that the derivative approach is a solution, we'll need to get board clearance pretty soon to proceed that way. I think if we focus on what our key objective is here, which is the counterintuitive outcome that Bob described earlier, which is that you're recording a liability and as your subsidiary becomes more profitable, you record a loss. Doesn't make sense. So if that's the if we focus on that as the problem that we're trying to solve, that might help to keep us reasonably narrow rather than going to all sorts of other things. I'm not sure it's possible, but that's the issue that we need to focus on.
All right. I know there's a board meeting coming up imminently.
That's right. There's a board meeting the week after next, so I think on the basis of this conversation, we'll take forward to them the question about I think the derivative accounting aspect, which is of most concern as to we wouldn't want to get into doing any work on that without getting some sort of acknowledgement from the board that they would be supportive of the committee doing work in that direction, whether that led directly to an interpretation or whether it then led to the board taking on the work from the committee at a later date, then we'll see that's a bridge we can cross when we get to it. But we can certainly take the content of this discussion to the board the week after next and get their response and feed that back to you in advance of the January meeting so that we can meanwhile prepare papers for the January meeting.
Yeah. Maybe that the board is not willing to make a commitment one way or the other until they see some analysis of what the implications are. So I wouldn't guarantee you get something next board meeting. But Philippe will just disagree with me on that.
No, not at all. No, I just like to get a sense, and I think the board will need to get a sense from the staff on how to achieve the objective in the derivative accounting. If the committee was to select this route after considering all the possible solutions, would that imply to change IAS 49 or to change another standard in order to transition back to IS 39 without modifying IS 39. That's an important element of decision for the board, I guess. Because probably the board might have little sympathy, I'm just guessing, for opening IS 49 in the current circumstances, but more sympathy for leaving IS 49 intact and bringing back what is currently pushed outside into IS 39 by way of correcting the other standard. But I'd like to know whether the staff has any view of how to achieve the objective.
Okay, on that point, as I observe, the source of the issue is in IS 32, which identifies how to account for these particular instruments as financial liabilities rather than derivative instruments. So I think that would be the focus of the work of the committee.
Yeah.
As much as I like this solution that we account for it on a net basis as a derivative, we have to make sure that if we have to change, or the board changes IS 32 in this respect, that would also include other putable instruments. So we could get rid of IS 32, 16A to Y, or I don't remember how many numbers we used. I was wondering, you know, that will take the board a long, long time to deal with that, because that goes to the heart of what is a liability. So I would still try to look at other solutions, and without trying to iterate myself, because you didn't say that that might be an issue, but if we stay with what we have right now, which is that 32 tells us, for all putable instruments, account for them as if the transaction has already taken place, whether we could look at the contingent consideration solution, because that would also help us in this situation that we have right now. If we can't solve the putable instruments issue so quickly, because it's not only putable NCIs, it's all other putable instruments, you would then have a change in the liability if the value of the subsidiary goes up, but you would not charge it to P&L, you would charge it as part of the acquisition cost. You would show the increase in value, not only on the liability side, but also on the asset side. So that might be a solution which we can come to more quicker than the IS 32 issue. I'm always an optimist, but I don't think that the board will come up with a solution in an amount of time that is necessary to solve this issue, because it's so such a practical issue, and there are so many issues out there in the practice. So I would still ask the staff to also consider this way as maybe a more short-term solution to deal with this issue.
Be a little wary of going that route as well, though, Guido, because there is an option that exists at the moment in IFRS 3 for a business combination, depending on whether you elect to attribute or determine the fair value of the non-controlling interests, or if you want to allocate the recognized fair values of the assets on an apportionment basis. I think if you look at the bookkeeping entries, you probably find there's a difference then for contingent consideration in how you account for that difference. But I suppose you have to think about it. Scott?
I was forgotten to bring up earlier. You mentioned earlier, Bob, one principle in IAS 27 says transactions with owners are accounted for through equity, but another principle in IAS 27 is non-controlling interest is just another kind of equity, which suggests that transactions with owners of that kind of equity should be accounted for the same way as transactions with owners of another kind of equity, that is parent company equity. So that's another thing to keep in mind. Of course, the add-on bit with the non-controlling interest comes when we do an earnings per share calculation and when we allocate the income of the subsidiary between controlling and non-controlling. But, you know, my sense is there's possible answers that modify the way the income is split between controlling and non-controlling to take into account the existence of the put as well, that may not be as complicated as, you know, do derivative accounting or what have you.
And it isn't just IAS 27, which doesn't distinguish between NCI and other things.
But IAS 32 as well. Right. And it was the mention of paragraph 16 of 32 that reminded me of that. So one more thing to consider. I changed my vote. We shouldn't take them.
No.
Yeah. Andrew?
I agree with Guido that if, you know, if we were permitted to go the derivative route, we'd have to think carefully about the implications of that. But I'm not sure that the puttables, I don't want to start this detailed discussion now, but I'm not sure the puttables is an issue, because I would have thought that failed the initial net investment test to meet the definition of a derivative, because the initial net investment is 100% on balance sheet liability and not necessarily a derivative. But.
Okay, I think we've given you some input, some guidance,
yes.
And wish you a lot of luck in your negotiations, but leave Bomaro and Patricia, we also rely on you to make sure that the case is heard, but there seems to be, as you've seen from this, a pressing response from our constituents to do something, and if we can find a way in which we can expedite the process without clogging up the board's own agenda, without taking away too many staff resources to work on something that directionally is an improvement in financial reporting, even if it might not be the ultimate answer that FICE eventually will come out with. So if you can just keep the committee informed if we're likely to have it on the agenda in January. If the board needs more time, then we'll have to take that more time so that you can answer the questions. But it wouldn't be productive for us to work on something that the board is going to reject. So we need to have some level of assurance, I think, that they're supportive of some change. And inevitably, whatever we do, it will require an amendment to one or several standards. So we will need board approval as we get to the exposure stage. I would be inclined to put it, though, as an interpretive project. We're working on that so that we can interpret exactly how to deal with these issues. I know that some people think it's clear already, but practice is indicating to us that it's clearly not.
With respect to IFRIC update, what is going to be said?
I think we will document the fact that the committee has discussed the issue and is seeking guidance from the board on possible ways forward to address this issue over the coming months.
Which would include developing an interpretation on the issue, or alternatively, if the board feels it has the capacity from July, and it feels that the issue is urgent, that it could take the work that we have done into the FICE project at that stage. I don't think we can say what we are going to do, because we need to get some steer from the board as to what they're prepared to let us do. But it wouldn't be a tentative agenda decision anyway, just be a factual report on the discussion. Okay. Thank you, David. Go back to the agenda. It looks as if we can welcome Lucy back to our meeting.
Feedback on and improvements.
Okay, fine.
Can I sit?
You can sit. Don't go away.
Agenda paper 16, this is paper is intended to provide basis or focus for some feedback to you from the last board meeting and discussions that the board has had relating to various annual improvement recommendations that the committee has made and the results of those when discussed by the board. The board looked at a number of issues. First of all, it looked at the three proposals for inclusion and annual improvements that the committee had looked at relating to the repeat application of IFRS 1, looking at some proposed amendments to IFRS 3 relating to regrouping and improving the consistency of the guidance on contingent consideration, and thirdly, proposed amendment to IAS 24 related to key management personnel. Now, the board, when it discussed these, accepted the committee's recommendation relating to repeat application of IFRS 1, so that will be included in the exposure draft to be published later this month on improvements to IFRSs. With the other two issues, though, the board asked staff to do some further work, and so just wanted to feed back to you what it was that the board was concerned about there. First of all, with the contingent consideration guidance, I think the area that perhaps the board was most concerned about was the proposal that to clarify that all changes in contingent consideration should be recognised through profit or loss, and that contingent consideration should be measured at fair value. If you recall, there was contradictory guidance within IFRS 3, and that's what we were seeking to clarify. So the board have asked staff to do a bit more work on that and to bring that back to a future board meeting. And I think the concerns there relate to the fact that there would be a change to the required accounting as they saw it, and question whether that would appropriately fit within annual improvements. With relation to IAS 24 and the key management personnel issue, again the board asked for the staff to do some additional work and to look at some specific examples. And I think the issue there that some of the board members were particularly concerned about was the consequences of the proposed change and the possibility that it might encourage some companies to move key management personnel out of the main reporting entity into a separate entity, and thereby avoid some of the disclosures that would otherwise be required of those in respect to those key management personnel. So that's an area that the staff will look at and bring back some examples to the board to just clarify how the proposed amendments would work in those particular situations. The other couple of areas, the board looked at all of the proposed improvements for inclusion in the next exposure draft and assessed those against the enhanced proposed criteria for assessing annual improvements, and were satisfied that all of those that it had previously looked at did meet the new proposed criteria, and so they'll all be carried forward into the exposure draft on that basis. And then finally, the board looked at the committee's recommendation not to include an annual improvements. The issues related to, first of all, IS1 and whether to make changes to what are currently encouraged disclosures within IFRS. Also looked at the issue that the committee had considered in respect of IS21 and the recycling of currency translation differences on repayments of investments. And then finally, the issue related to IAS 40 and investment properties. This was the issue that had been included in the last exposure draft for annual improvements. and that the committee, when you'd looked at the comment letters received, you concluded that that issue should not be finalised within the last IFRS. When that was initially reported back to the board back in the summer, the board, as you know, wanted the committee to look at that in more detail, which of course you did, and just to report back that the board has now accepted that further analysis that the committee completed.